put a spell on you. Spell on you because you're mine. You're mine.
They call it down home, they call it Fannin Street, but out in California they call it Cry For Me. That was my mother crying about me after, you know, when I was a boy, had on short pants. My father used to take me to town on some cotton. We was living out in the country, which I was born dead in the country, about 20 miles and 30 and 40 miles from any kind of big town. The closest little place was close around us was 5 miles. We had to ride 5 miles to get mail and get it once a week. Read a newspaper once a week, and that was good in that neighborhood. Anyhow, my papa take me to Sweet Spot, own some bales of cotton. He'd lead me all around in Fannin Street, and that's what I like, you know, where the people dance and play and sing and pianos and women dance. You know, I love to see women dance anyhow. And so my father carried me down as a little boy, and I wasn't much knee-high to a duck at that time, but I was watching. Sure, your children don't forget nothing. My father would lead me around by the hand in the daytime, and when he'd put the wagon in the wagon yard, well, at night, he'd put me in the wagon yard too, because I'd be sleeping, he'd be gone. When I'd wake up, he'd be gone and run right in my mind. I was a little boy too. He's going right back down there where he carried me that day. I said, well, when I get to be a man, I'm going down there too. And when I got to be a, you know, well, I wasn't a man about 16, 17 years old. See, I was wearing long pants at that time. So my father put me on a bale of cotton and carried me to this train and gave me $40 in my pocket. I was a big shot too when I had that $40. Sent me to go to the fair 5 times, and he said, son, don't go down on Fannin Street. And I didn't sleep none that night, just thinking about Fannin Street. And I saw him north of Papa, and that's just where I was going. I didn't have to tell him. He didn't have to know where I was going. I wasn't going to tell him. He shouldn't ask me. But anyhow, when I got to Sweet Spot, I never did forget how to go down on Fannin Street, because the little hill you drop off. Babe knows exactly what that big place sitting up on Texas there now. I guess it's a church. I don't know what it is. I never did pay that much mind, because when I get ready to go down that little hill, I wouldn't study by that church, but I know how to go down there. So I went on down on Fannin Street, and that's where I'd go every time I'd leave home. So I learned how to play a guitar by a piano. I'd sit by the bass. Six-string guitar at that time. Now this is going to tell a story about when I was a little boy going on Fannin Street. But before I started,
jokes,
and they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dang nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I can tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius.
It's 8 o'clock. It's Friday night. It's time for Fantastic's Comedy Clubhouse here on Mutiny Radio. Yeah. Yay! This is Baby's second night out. This is Falcor's second set. Well, third, really, because we did happy hour as well. So this is the third time he's been on stage to make my jokes funnier and much more agreeable. I wore this outfit. Oh, I can finally see myself in it. I specifically dressed to accentuate the kitty's astronaut-y look. So he's this is like his rocket cat. No one knows the words. Except there's one point in that song where he talks about his wife, and I'm like, oh, I think you do protest too much, sweetie. I think we all know Elton John with those sparkly glasses. What was going on? But yay, so I have a cat strapped to me, and that is lovely. Charity's friend is coming, and my friend Amanda's here. Falcor's first mom, give it up for her, saving him. Saving him from death. He was like less than a pound, like a half a pound. This amazing kitten you see before you now, this enormous beast of a kitten. He was half a pound, and he was dying, and he was covered with fleas. She tells me the story about his eyes with fleas on his eyes, and she still picked him up and wasn't freaked out. Like, I'd be like, oh, gross. What do you do with these things? Like, gross, it looks like it's going to die. Jonathan, do something. Like, that's what I say when there's cute animals. Does anyone else own? Own is the worst word. I hate that. I feel like the word own for a cat, I'm like, are we bringing this back to slavery? I don't own this cat. Like, we are lucky enough to share our lives with one another. Like, there's something happening. I get, are you're a cat owner? How dare we think we can own these majestic creatures? These aliens from the sky. Like, I really feel like cats are alien beings from other planets who came here to make our lives better. And the Chinese have known for thousands of years, that's why they bow with one hand to the cat, those weird little cat thing. What are those cat statues about? They're praying to something, right? They're praying to the cat gods of wonderment, like, may my life be okay. Yeah, have a cat. Pet a cat. Why do people want dogs? I don't get it. Why would you want to go out twice a day to walk it around, pick up poo? I used to have dogs, and it is so gross when you pick up a warm handful of dog shit. It's like the worst. It's like Burning Man on steroids. It's like, it's not even your poo. It's like another animal's poo. I'm sorry, you're eating a burrito. I feel terrible right now. I'm talking about dog shit, and the burritos across the street are really delicious. I'm terrible. Cat feces, however, is easy. They go in a box. I just don't understand, like, why. And people they see me on the street now with the cat walking around. They're like, oh, does he like it? I'm like, well, he doesn't hate it. Like, he's not clawing to get his way out. He's not, like, angry or, like, crying. Like, I think things are okay. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't see enough cats out in the world. Like, yeah, I don't know. Is he freaking out? Is he still? Are you hiding in there? Come on out. Make my jokes funnier. Come on, cat. You can do it. He is so cute. I have cat calling jokes, but they I'm trying to call the cat right now. Come on. Is that why it's called cat calling? Because we kiss at the cats? This is something I was thinking about the other day. Why do we all instinctively kiss at cats to try to get them to come to us? They don't know that. Like, he doesn't get it yet that, like, means come here. Like, and I sit there and I'm like, Falcor, and he doesn't do anything because cats don't listen to you. No, they do. They respond. But I guess that's why it's called cat calling, because you kiss at cats. Come here. And that's what you do at women is come here. Neither of it works. It's the same thing. It doesn't work on cats either. It doesn't work on women. Although I did have a difficulty the other day figuring out the difference between cat calling and complimenting. I was walking in the Tenderloin and a man said, girl, you got a nice fit on today. And I was like, that's a well-crafted compliment, sir. I am a fit, and I'm wearing a nice outfit. Good work. good thing. And another man said, girl, you've been living a long time to look 22. Compliment. Not catcall. Compliment. Well-crafted compliment. Still another man commented on my appearance without me asking to. I guess that's what catcalling is like when someone overtly comments on your appearance without being like, hey, without putting it on Facebook with a picture. Like, what do you think of this outfit? Like, when you're just on the street and someone gives their opinion. But he was like, oh, I like that skirt. Can I get my hand in there and get a sniff? Oh, what? That is catcalling. That is where we made the switch. Nice skirt compliment. Didn't want it, but still underneath sniffing bad. Gross. Also, like, kind of gay. Why do you want to smell my boyfriend's cum? Like, that is so weird. I don't shower much, so gross. Gross. Oh, catcall me. Is he out? Yeah, it's so cute when he comes out. Come on. Come on, Falcor. Come on out. Everybody catcall the cat. kitty, 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 kitty. Everybody, kitty, kitty. Did he come? Is he looking? Kitty, kitty. So he's on the side. He feels safe under there, like he's hidden. And God, he's so cute. Okay, I know. It really. I've been just trying to. This has been the other weird thing is that I've never realized that San Francisco is actually quite a friendly place until you strap a kitten on your stomach and walk around. Get on the 19 bus. The 19 bus usually scary, usually awful, and makes me like think twice about living in the Tenderloin. I'm like, oh, we're gonna just do heroin on the bus now. Okay, that's great. All right, it's the 19. Then you write it up. Well, it's the 19 poke. Suddenly, you get on the 19 poke. Everybody is nice. They talk about their. They're like, where'd you get $34 on Amazon? I can afford that. That's amazing. Are you beta testing? Are you part of the team that built this amazing contraption? Are you getting a cut when everybody's the huge rush on cat astronaut backpacks on the Amazon? Are you getting a cut of this? No, I just am a crazy cat lady, and I really. I want to walk around with a cat all the time. We'll be right back.
remember how it felt when you went to your first parade, and how you saw that glorious marching band coming down the street. Well, try to imagine with me, if you will, that you were the first to see the band coming down the way, growing bigger and bigger, and your heart pounding harder and harder. It always seemed to me that my heart was in perfect time with the big bass drum. And you remember how you got that go to glory feeling? Feeling in your heart and in your mind and in your blood that some folk call religion. There are multitudes of people crying because they just won't try to understand. From the book I read, not one but all must follow him. Come and join the magnificent sanctuary band. There are multitudes, people dying. Seem like temptation rules over the land. You know those people should remember his commandments. Come and join the magnificent sanctuary band. Singing in a band, talking to the man, bringing in the sheep all over the world as fast as they can. Singing in a band, talking to the man, drop everything you're doing and join the sanctuary band. The Son of Man speaks of revelation. Oh, he's reaching out his hand. He has promised to bring us all salvation. Come and join the magnificent sanctuary band. Singing in a band, talking to the man, bringing in the sheep all over the world as fast as they can.
Howdy.
I'm Claudia.
And I am the Loaf. What's up, fuckers?
You're here with us on Tuesday.
Coming in hot today. Well, I'm excited. This is a really fun set we put together tonight. I had a lot of fun putting it together. It's a lot of great music. In case you couldn't tell or don't know the reference, those were five songs.
Songs,
and they were all songs that were sampled on the Beastie Boys album Paul's Boutique. And you're going to hear more songs from Paul's Boutique.
Our entire night.
That's the whole thing. there's 105 samples on that album.
105
songs. There's one song that's got like 24 or 25 samples alone. I think that's Johnny Royal. I can't remember which one that one was. But yeah, it was
the heyday of sampling.
Yeah. Well, the Dust Brothers just went nuts on this one. This was one of those the only Beastie Boys album that I know of that was recorded in L.A.
No Mix Master Mike.
No, it was the Dust Brothers putting all this together, and they had a lot of these mixes and stuff that they were doing at clubs, and then the Beastie Boys were like, well, what do you got? And they're thinking they're going to build more, and they're like, no, we need to build off this. And it was a golden age of getting stuff cleared sample-wise. So this was a very affordable, they sampled one of the Beatles, Paul McCartney, which we won't be playing tonight. But I don't think, no, he's not. I think he didn't make the cut. It's 105 songs, But I was reading about the album in a little post the other day, and it's one of my favorites, if not, it's hard to say. Between this one and Check Your Head.
Yeah.
Those are two, like...
Really amazing. Yeah, I think it depends on my vibe,
I think they're just, like, two sides of the same kind of coin. Like, it was weird. This was, like, they had a lot of commercial success with their first album, but everybody just thought it was, like, white boy frat rap and, party for your right, you're going to go with this. And then they came back with this, like, sample-heavy, funky, rockin' amazing album that had very little commercial success at its time. And then they came out with Check Your Head, which brought everybody to the yard. It was the veritable milkshake, as they would say. But I remember Check Your Head. That was the album. Even the soccer jocks and the metal kids and the skater kids. Everybody kind of like, oh, shit. But there was something about this one that's just fucking amazing. And I don't know, I could never really decide between this one or Check Your Head being my favorite. I will say this, I can't think of another example. This is the best like sophomore effort from any band ever.
Right.
And it's just a really great album. And a lot of that is the foundation was made with really good music. And we're going to bring you as many of those 105 songs we can tonight. I'm pretty sure we won't be able to get to all of them.
Yeah, we'll be revisiting this topic.
I think we'll at least get to come back like two, maybe three more times. Yeah. Not immediately, but you know, or I don't know, whenever. But like, yeah, there's a lot of great music that it was really hard to choose from a lot of those. But what did we listen to?
Yeah, we started that off with Lauren's Dance by Idris Muhammad. From there, we went to Funky Snakefoot by Alphonse Mouzon.
I wonder if Funky Snakefoot and Snakefinger have any cousins or something. And those are the only two. I mean, it may have happened accidentally when we were putting the mix together here, but those are the two. It started off a little chronological, just so maybe drop the hint with what we were doing. From there, we went into Last Bongo in Belgium by the Incredible Bongo Band.
Yeah, it sounds like they're the experts.
Yeah. Got that bongo shit we can lay down.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Bongo Brothers, I think. Or Bongo Fury, yes. The Magnificent Sanctuary Band is a song by Donnie Hathaway.
The fabulous Donnie Hathaway.
And then Superfly by Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah, Superfly took us out.
He did. And I guess that's that was that. Starting off our next set. Is another Curtis. We ended with a Curtis. We're starting with a Curtis. Curtis Mayfield passing the baton to Curtis Blow with AJ Scratch.
In the booth with the people of fresh air was one DJ who had to pass the test, and now he's down below and he's ready to play. That's right, y'all, his name is AJ. Never gets nervous when he cuts the beat. He gives top-notch service in the clutch on the street. A complete elite trick that can't be beat, cause AJ never knew the agony of the beat.
Hit me! Yeah.